So the Bible tells us time and again, doesn't it, to stop being so obsessed with ourselves and serve others. And there was a little girl who was being selfish with her toys, and she wasn't sharing with her brothers. So unusual. And her dad sat her down and gave her a lecture about being selfish. When he was done, the little girl said, "Dad, I don't even have a shellfish." They've not got any better this summer, have they? Yeah, it's the way I tell him, isn't it? Yeah. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, if you remember it from last summer, Paul says, "In humility, value others above yourselves." Matthew verse 20, Jesus says, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and the who wants to be first must be your slave." In his most direct description of being a disciple, Jesus says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." Just realised I saw Mandy go to the back. We do actually have a children's activity, if Emmy wants to do it. It's in the new vicarage on the garden out there. You'll see it on the churchyard. That was a joke. The marquee is for the barbecue next week. Anyway, we digress. Christians, you see, we're not called to be like self-centred pop stars. The Christian life is one of self-sacrificing servants. That's what we're called to be. Not self-centred pop stars, but self-sacrificing servants. And that means real, costly sacrifice. It's not for the faint-hearted, nor is it for the double-minded. As we've seen over the summer, in his summary of the law, Jesus tells us to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. We've seen that time and again over the summer, haven't we? And as we saw last week, Jesus gives us the parable of the Good Samaritan to show us who our neighbours are and what it means to love them. Our neighbours are even our sworn enemies, and loving them means caring for them, even as we would care for someone in our own family. Even ourselves. After all, Paul says in our reading from Ephesians, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body. The assumption here is that it's easy to love ourselves. And on one level, it probably is. When we're hungry, we know it and we can eat something. When we're thirsty, which I often am, hence why you see me with my bottle of water all the time. When we're thirsty, we drink, don't we? We don't even give it a second thought. We just do it. We go and make a cup of tea or have a glass of water if you're me. When we're tired, we go to bed. These things, we do them without thinking. We care for ourselves on that level. We have Matt here today, but not Ash. Ash is at home with Elsie. She gave birth to Elsie on Wednesday. So we'll sing happy birthday to Elsie later. Thank the Lord, everything's gone well and they're recovering well at home. We'll hopefully see them soon. I'm told that one of the hardest things with having a baby is working out what it wants, what it needs. Because when a baby is hungry, it cries. When a baby is tired, it cries. When something's hurting, it cries. It cries. It doesn't yet know how to say, "Oh, I'm hungry, Mum." That comes later. When babies are upset, they cry. When we're upset, what do? Perhaps if we're at home on our own, perhaps we might dare to cry and let some of those feelings out. But when we're with others, what do? We hide it, don't we? We put on a brave face. Sometimes we may not even realise that the hurt and the pain is there. We're so used to presenting a brave front that we sort of don't even realise, or we've forgotten about the pain that is still there festering away in our hearts until one day we can't hold it in anymore. See, the Good Samaritan, in some ways, he had it quite easy because it was pretty obvious what the guy needed. I mean, he was beaten and left half for dead on the side of the road. It's pretty obvious what you need to do in that situation. But sometimes for us, it's not so obvious what our needs might be. Sunday school teacher was telling the story of the Good Samaritan to a group of 4 or 5-year-olds. She was making it as vivid as possible to keep their interest. Then she asked the class, "If you saw a person lying outside on the road, all wounded and bleeding, what would you do?" Thoughtful little girl broke the hushed silence. "I think I'd throw up," she said. Some children were asked when it's okay to kiss someone. Pam, age 7, said when they're rich. Roger, age 6, said if it's your mother, you can kiss her any time you like. But if it's a new person, you have to ask permission. Tammy, age 10, it's never okay to kiss a boy. They always slobber all over you. That's why I stopped doing it. St. Augustine told us that the human capacity for love is broken. It's broken. He called it disordered love. Sometimes we love the wrong thing. Sometimes we love the right thing, but we love it too much. Like pizza or wine, if you're me. Sometimes we love the right thing, but too little. Friends, it is easy to love ourselves too much. It is easy to be selfish and self-centered. But it's also possible, sometimes at the same time, though in different ways, to love ourselves too little. To disregard or ignore our needs, perhaps not on a physical level, but on an emotional, spiritual, or a mental level. We paper over the cracks of our hurt, the things we struggle with. We struggle to share them, because to share is to be vulnerable. When I was younger, I was taught a little mnemonic. Now, no one at the 8:45 knew this, so perhaps it was something that they did in Sunday school in the 80s. Joy to remember love. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. There we go. Sunday school in the 80s, I suspect, is where that came from. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Joy, that's how you remember the order in which things should be loved. It's not perfect, of course. It doesn't mention the world. It's useful for a small child. Here, loving ourselves, as in everything else, whether it's money or possessions, work, leisure, friends, family, we need to love ourselves in the right way. So perhaps, if you like, it's Goldilocks love. Not too much, not too little, but just right. Do you love yourself in that way? Do you pay attention to your needs? To your physical needs? For health? For a healthy body? For exercise? I'm not a doctor, but doctors tell us we should do 150 minutes of exercise a week that gets our heart rate up. You don't have to run marathons like Steve. You can go for a brisk walk. It's really important. Dame Sally Davis, who was, I don't know if she still is, the chief medical officer for the government in this country, said, if exercise were a drug, it would be hailed as a miracle cure because of the effect it has on our health and well-being. Do we pay attention to our physical needs? Do we pay attention to our spiritual needs? To our emotional needs? To our mental health? These things are still somewhat of a taboo in our society. Perhaps it's seen as a weakness to seek help for those things. But it's not. I've received counselling several times over the last 10 years. And it's been nothing but helpful. Nothing but helpful. Do you love God first? Love others second? And don't forget to love yourself. Because otherwise it's just Joe, not Joy. And although my mother-in-law is lovely, we don't all want to be Joes. She's called Jo, by the way. And she sometimes listens to my sermons, so I won't tell her. See if she listens. If the answer is no to that question, do you love yourself? Then perhaps the first verses of our reading this morning, he said this evening then, it's been a long day. Perhaps the first verse of our reading today might help speak to you. Follow God's example, Paul says, verse 1, therefore, as dearly loved children. You see, friends, one way of describing a Christian is learning to see things as God sees them. It's one way of describing what it means to be a Christian. And that goes for yourself, as well as the world, as well as other people. It's so easy for us, isn't it, to see the mess in our hearts. To see the ways in which we aren't great. I don't know about you, but when we do confessions, how easy it is for you to come up with stuff. Don't know. But it is easy for us to see all that mess and our love for ourselves falters. I'm speaking from personal experience. This is something that I struggle with. If it were not for God, I would be a complete fraud standing here, preaching to you guys, daring to lead God's people here in Amington. And I know some of you probably don't believe that, but it's true. I would be. But God. Two very little words that mean everything. But God. But God is amazing. He is powerful. And he is full of grace and mercy and love. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. In fact, I haven't always followed God's example. In fact, frequently I haven't. I've messed up. But Paul doesn't say, follow God's example and you'll be dearly loved children, does he? There is no GCSE in whatever that we have to pass to earn God's love. Thank goodness for that. Whether you need a 9 or an A star or whatever it is, A double star, whatever they are these days. There is no GCSE or A level we have to pass to be loved by God. Thank goodness for that. Paul says, follow God's example because you already are dearly loved children. This is who you are, Paul says. So be who you are. It's not about earning love. It's about living it out. Which means that when we fail or make mistakes or we mess up, those things don't stop us from being a dearly loved child of God. It can't be taken away because you didn't earn it in the first place. Because frankly, you are a mess. But we all are. Only Jesus isn't a mess. He's the only human being since ever who wasn't a complete mess. He passed the GCSE for you. He has sorted out all that mess and killed it dead on the cross. That is his gift. Do you want it? Some of you do. I do. Yes, please. You are awake. Today our topic is love yourself, but perhaps it should be slightly longer. Perhaps it should be love yourself as God loves you. Learning to see yourself as God sees you. All that mess, but you are still a dearly loved child of God. Do you love yourself as God loves you? I wonder. If not, join the club. Perhaps there's a little simple prayer that you could pray this week from our reading. From that first verse in Ephesians 5. Perhaps you could pray when you wake up every morning, thank you, Father, that I am your dearly loved child. Perhaps you could pray that when you wake up every day. It'd be a good way to start the day, possibly. This is something you find difficult. Thank you, Father, that I am your dearly loved child. If you aren't a Christian yet, but you want to be a dearly loved child of God, come and talk to me. Come and say, Ben, I want to be a dearly loved child of God. What do I have to do? Well, you don't have to pass a GCSE. The Bible tells us all we have to do is put our trust in God. And I can talk to you a bit about what that means. If you don't want to talk to me, talk to a Christian friend. Because I'm sure they'd be delighted to talk to you about what it means. There's no entrance exam. There's no bar. There's no standard we have to meet. We simply put our trust in our Father who loves us, his dearly loved children. Amen. Let's pause for a couple of moments in prayer. We thank you, Father, for the gift of Jesus, for his gift of life. Please help us to take hold of it, to receive your forgiveness, to receive that new life, that we might be dearly loved children. Not because of anything we can do, but because of what he has done. Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. What's next? Prayers. Jeff.